Hello, I'm Dr. Shane Barker, optometrist from Mountain Comprehensive Health Corporation. We realize the importance of your eyesight each day when we see the beauty of Appalachia. At MCHC, we have same-day appointments and we take walk-ins. We make your glasses on-site and we offer all the name-brand frames. Also, Kentucky Medicaid expanded coverage to include adults, and with your sliding scale, you only pay based on your family size and income. When it comes to your eyesight, we don't want you to miss a thing. MCHC, providing better health for a longer life.
Know the drill with Wes Smith. Wes Smith. Wes Smith, presented by MCHC.
You know the drill, sponsored by MCHC, providing better health for a longer life. Wes Smith, Brady Kennedy. Brady, it's, man, this podcast started in 2024. Me and you have had some of the most amazing guests that I could ever imagine having on this podcast. And now 2024 is gone, man. It's over.
So quick, it's upon us. And it's almost like we're in a weird place as well. You know, there's nothing more weird than in between Christmas and New Year's. It's just kind of like, what do people do, right?
Isn't it? Like, I'm off work, man, and I don't know, are you off today too?
I'm off.
So it's like, it's that span of like, now that I'm not teaching and I'm seeing every normal job in the world, it's like people usually don't get off work until like the 24th.
Yeah.
Yep. And then it's like the world kind of just shuts down until after New Year's.
Yep. Good luck getting a hold of anybody.
Good luck getting a hold of anybody. Man. I tell you, it's the first year, and I know you remember this feeling all too well. Do you remember your first year not coaching during this time? Because you're usually traveling, you're practicing, mm-hmm. you're in the hustle, and it's like now, it's like, what the hell do I do?
We would know, like, I think back, you would typically get like 2 days, 3 days as a coach, and then you'd basically... I know there was a couple of days back when the Louisville game, if people remember, was like the day or two after Christmas. It was a great Christmas present for a lot of fans because they would give those tickets for Christmas gifts. But man, it was horrible for a staff and a player because usually we'd come back. There was actually, I think, one time we came back on Christmas Eve and then we practiced Christmas Eve night, practiced Christmas because we played, I think, on the 26th 1 year. So it's hard on the players. I know they want to get home. I know most of the time, I think the Kentucky guys will fly home from the New York game. They won't even come back to Lexington. So it's a grind. And then at high school level, you got these Christmas tournaments and you're running around and then before you know it, you're back in school.
Well, I feel like Mark Pope gave this squad a little longer of a break than I've ever really heard of with Kentucky basketball, right? Like,
yeah.
So the last game they played before Christmas is what?
Last Saturday, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they don't play until tomorrow. So yeah. I'm sure I think I had talked to Mark and he was saying they were back at the day after Christmas, I think, is when they had to be back.
Okay. So yeah. So now that's over, man. I can remember, especially when I was in Western Kentucky in Madisonville, the hustle of trying to drive home. Sometimes we'd practice Christmas Eve morning and then drive a 5.5 hour drive home, try to have Christmas that night. We started back practice the day after Christmas. So it's like spent more time on the road than we did with the fam.
And how hard is it the day after holiday to practice? I mean, it's hard on a staff, but it's hard on a player. I mean, you're out of breath, you're out of shape.
I was going to say, are those ever good? Has anybody ever had a good first day back from Christmas practice?
I guess as a adult now, that there's nothing worse than that first day of work after a long break.
Oh yeah, for sure.
What do you got on store for today's show?
Man, I think so. Gonna be honest with you, I'm really excited about. So, for everybody listening, Brady pitched me this great idea. Just Brady pulls some of the best ideas straight up out of his ass. It's not even funny. And so, y'all, Brady texted me, what was it, like yesterday, and was like, man, or is today?
I was driving. It's in, I was in the car.
You were in the car, the thinking time. And he was like, I have a great idea for the podcast. And I was actually kind of working today and didn't get to you trying to call and I couldn't answer, but I'm texting you. And I was like, dude, that's awesome. Yeah. So I'm pumped about this little idea we've got today. And you'll get to see that here in just a little bit. I've got a randomizer pulled up and we have all of these topics from 2024 that we're going to mention, pull out at random, and we're going to kind of discuss that. I'll jump into that a little bit here in a minute. But something me and you talked about, Brady, that I also am so excited, just to start it off with, this is going to be a kind of a recap best of 2024 episode, right? Because we're ushering in 2025 with this episode. Brady, we have talked a little bit about how crazy of a year this has been in sports. 2024, we've seen some things that was just, what is going on? So me and you have kind of went back and forth a little bit talking about some of the craziest sports headlines of 2024. You found an article from ESPN earlier, the best sports moments of 2024. Let's talk about some of these things. What are some of the things on this list that stuck out to you?
Mm-hmm. It was wild. And I think the beautiful thing about, I think, 2024 is it brought a wide range of sports. A lot of people only hear about basketball, football, and different things. But looking through this list, truly sports is all over the place now, especially with the Olympics, Paris Olympics this year. Something that jumped out to me right off the bat, I think, is the rise of women's basketball with Caitlin Clark. One of the biggest sports stories, not only in women's basketball, but she, I think, I know a lot of people don't want to admit this, but I think she elevated women's basketball, I think, on her own. I think we can give her that credit. I think the amount of eyeballs that she brought to the sport, and we always talk about some of the other players in college basketball and WNBA, how they get there. They kind of want to help and take credit for some of that stuff, which they did. There's a lot of talent in the WNBA now. But Caitlin Clark just, I think, skyrocketed it to epic proportions. I think that's right off the bat, looking at this list, that's what jumped out to me.
I think you're right. I think it was her alone. I mean, Brady, I think back to women's basketball and some of the insane talent. I mean, let's look back at Lisa Leslie,
mm-hmm.
Sue Bird. I mean, mm-hmm. some of these players that have come through women's basketball are phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But they did not have the eyes like Caitlin Clark did, like you said. And it's just, I went to watch Kentucky women's basketball play WKU this past weekend. And Brady, I mean, we were playing an unranked team in Memorial Coliseum, and there was not a seat open. That didn't happen before Caitlin Clark.
No. I think she's created a dream for a lot of different girls now where – she's made it. I think when you think of women's basketball, it's, you see some of the scores, you don't think it's a high power offense, but she brought essentially the revolution that Steph Curry brought to the NBA. She's brought that to women's basketball. Makes it exciting.
You've got celebrities all the way from hip hop artists to, mm-hmm. superstars in basketball like Steph, yeah. Curry and LeBron coming to sit, yep. courtside to watch her play. Just unreal. Unreal.
Well, what people don't realize too is that the women's WNBA season backs right up to college. So she got basically a full year of headline from her time in Iowa to then she took I think the WNBA draft's like a week after the Final Four. For women. So she got right in the WNBA season, crushed it, almost led them to, I think, did they lead to the playoffs or did they get close? But they were the worst team in the WNBA before her, but she was incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's generated a lot of hate and I feel like she's handled that well.
Yep.
a lot of controversy, a lot of adversity she has faced through this, and I think she's handled it like a champ. And you know, when you've got that many people out there that dislike you, there's a reason, right? You've given them something to talk about. So, yeah, that one jumped out at me too, Brady. One thing that was not on that list that I am so upset ESPN did not put out there, Brady, one of my greatest sports moments, I feel like, of 2024 was at the Olympics, Snoop Dogg becoming just an Olympic icon. I mean, how do you not put that on the list, dude?
That's a great point. Now Snoop is involved in everything. Snoop's like I would say one of the best entrepreneurs out there. I mean, I walked through Walmart the other day looking for a Christmas gift, and he's now got a Elf on the Shelf Snoop Dogg.
Oh,
I mean, he's
gosh.
Incredible.
I was that guy that I don't know that I was ever going to have my kid an Elf on the Shelf when I have a kid, but if there's a Snoop Dogg version, I might change my mind about
it. I think
that.
It's called, let me look this up. It's called Snoop. Oh my gosh. It's called, Snoop on the Stoop.
Snoop on the Stoop. The dude becomes an Olympic icon. He's on here cooking with Martha Stewart all the time. He has a character, a skin, or whatever on Fortnite now. He's got a Snoop on the Stoop. I mean, this dude is, come on.
He's done the best. He is probably one of the best at literally relating to everybody. I mean,
oh my gosh.
We talked about how Winston Lee can relate to anybody. Snoop Dogg can relate to anybody, but whether it's my parents in Northern Kentucky or some person in California to someone in Korea, like, he can do whatever.
Yes. The dude just markets himself without trying to market himself, I feel like. I don't know if you saw the TikTok video the other day. He gives this kid 50,000 V-Bucks for Fortnite while he's signing his cast.
Well, do you know how much money he probably got paid? I mean, I know the rumors are out there where he got paid like $30,000 or $50,000 a day. Like, I don't even want to know.
No.
Blue, one other thing, speaking of the Olympics, I don't know how much – you're a soccer guy too. I remember talking about soccer with you. If you remember Lamine Yamal from Spain scoring in the Euros at 16 years old, which isn't talked about as much in the United States because of soccer, it's still on the come up. But looking back, what were you doing at 16? This guy scored at 16 against Messi. And, like, this kid's a young – I think I pulled out of my driveway for the first time on my permit with my mom.
Man, that's what's crazy to think about. 16. And you know, even before that happened, Brady, like, I can remember the time that me and my wife Kennedy were in Louisville for a couple of years while she was in med school. And I can remember we got season tickets to Lou City, and they pull some of these, I say kids, they pull some of these kids up from the soccer club, man. And it's like, this kid's out here starting his first professional soccer game at 15. And you're like, what? But yeah. And then here's a kid who is, like you said, scoring against, out here playing with guys like Messi.
Yep.
At 16 years old. Unbelievable.
And it shows, it's a sport you can do it in, right? Like, I'd say he weighs every bit of 160, 170. You can't throw a kid like that in a NFL game. I mean, it's just from a physical, the amount of physical nature. But soccer, that plays to his advantage a little bit. He's shifty, but the skills, the skill level of him, I mean, he's crazy. I mean, he's, I think, now plays for Barcelona. And I mean, he's probably already set. I don't even want to know his contract.
No, I don't
He
either.
Doesn't need NIL.
No, same. And, you know, not necessarily completely a 2024 story, but I'm glad you mentioned soccer. You know, we mentioned some of the names you just mentioned were playing, such as Messi and Brady. You know, for the longest time, the MLS was not even a comparison to some of your leagues in Europe and other places across the pond. But Brady, now it's like the MLS is starting to become a name in worldwide soccer.
Great point.
So I mean, I just think about like, do you remember looking at some of the ticket prices? I know we talked about this, like when Messi came to Cincinnati, right? Like, my goodness, you're looking at for a good ticket, you're looking at $2,000 a ticket for some of these for the MLS. So I think that's just another big, you mentioned the soccer story with him, but just the MLS in general here in the US and how it's grown to here in 2024 is amazing to me.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. As a soccer guy, I love seeing it. And some of the local programs here are really good. Kentucky's really good, both men's and women's. We just got a Lexington soccer team too.
They're not
And then
that good yet, but
FC
yeah, give
Cincinnati's,
them time.
you give them some time. FC Cincinnati is really good. But it's cool. I mean, I think you're seeing people like Messi come back over. He brought his Barcelona team basically over, and then you got David Beckham, the legend that's owning. It's a cool environment. So we need to go.
Absolutely.
We need to go to a game.
We do need to
I
go, man. I'm all about. I have a Nashville SC jersey, but that was when
we
I
all
lived in West
know when
Kentucky.
the game starts, you take that thing off anyway.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That thing's
Shirtless.
getting waved like a towel at the game start. But we're, I definitely FC Cincinnati, man. Let's do it. Let's check it out sometime. Well, Brady, I really you've had me on the edge of my seat about these topics since you texted me earlier today. I'm pumped. So I want to skip ahead to that for a minute. So I want to let you and the listeners know what we're doing here. So you had this idea of talking about some of the local Kentucky sports. Now we're talking about Brady. We're talking about the University of Kentucky. We're talking about the KHSAA. Just some general topics that happened in 2024. So here's what I've done. I have a randomizer, former school teacher talking here. Have a randomizer. If any of you school teachers listening want to know what that is, it is flippity.com. You can send me $5 through Venmo for letting you know about that. If you don't already know, flippity.com. I've got these topics into this randomizer. And Brady, I want to click
Yep.
on this button. I want it to give me a topic that I've loaded in here. I'm going to tell you this topic and I want you to tell me. So this happened in 2024. What are the chances it happens in 2025 again? And then we'll talk. Some of these I don't think ever have a chance of happening in 2025. So we can elaborate on that. Okay, when do we think it'll happen again? But I'm excited to hear some of these topics and your opinion on do they have a chance of happening again in 2025? Are you ready for this?
Ready, let's hear it.
I wish you could hear the little randomizer noise here, but I don't have it. All right. Your first topic from 2024, Brady, happens to a guy that we've all here in the Bluegrass become to know all too well. Travis Perry passes King Kelly Coleman for the scoring record in a career in the KHSAA. Passes him by 3 points. So, Brady, 2024, the scoring record gets broken by Travis Perry. Is there a chance that happens again in 2025 by someone else?
I think it's a that's a hard no. I think that's a I think and you can chime in on this as well because you have a lot more experience in the KHSA than I do, but I think that's a this is a record that'll be broken once every I mean, I think it's safe for another 30 to 50 years. I think what Travis Perry was able to do in terms of and you don't forget Trent Noah was right there up there with him, but those guys I think the longevity of they played so long and produced at such a high level. It's going to take not only a combination of a player to play that many seasons at the varsity level, but also score in the 20 to 25 a night game range, maybe more, and also stay in the KHSAA. You see a lot of kids transfer out. Does a guy, right? And, you know, I mean, this is, I think what's more important about this too is that these guys, both of these guys, they're from rural parts of the United States, but the state, this isn't somebody that was from the metro Louisville area, Lexington, where we always think of having these high-end D1 talent. So more kudos to them to not transferring out and staying. And I don't think that thing's, I honestly, like if you were asking me now, I don't think it's broken for another 100 years. I just don't, in today's age, I don't see it, but who knows? What do you think?
I have to agree with you. I was literally going to tell you, not only does it have zero shot of happening in 2025, Brady, I don't know that it ever happens again. Now, granted, kind of like you said, I have no idea what the landscape of the KHSAA is going to be like 100 years from now. You know, we're both more than likely going to be dead and gone unless Elon Musk develops some kind of thing to make us live forever. I have no idea what basketball in Kentucky is going to be like 100 years from now. But unless something drastic happens, I don't think it ever happens again. I don't think it's ever broken. Just because of what you said, look how long it was since King Kelly Coleman broke it to when Travis Perry was able to break it again. And I think you hit the nail right on the head, Brady, when you said two guys from rural Kentucky, right? Mm-hmm. Because let's face it, if you're good enough to break that scoring record, you're probably going to start playing varsity basketball as a seventh or an eighth grader now in Kentucky. And if you're that good that you've got a chance of breaking this scoring record, especially if you're from Metro Louisville, Lexington, chances are by your junior year, you're going prep. Like you said, you're out of the KHSAA. You're going to go prep to get eyes on you. You're going to get picked up in AAU. Coaches are going to encourage you to go here, go there. And I think that's why it's two rural kids, right? Because those kids are more, I guess, less likely to leave home, mm-hmm. right? You know, they're, but yeah, I don't think, Brady, I don't know that it ever happens. I think that might be written in stone right there, man.
I know, but I'm sure back in the day, I'm sure Kelly Coleman thought the same thing. And you know what? We can't forget about, I'll play devil's advocate here. It could have a better chance of happening in the future if the shot clock comes out in Kentucky, more possessions. That could help. That would be the only thing that can help, in my opinion.
I would agree. I do want to ask you this, kind of to touch on that. If it does ever get broken, what's the chances of that player that breaks it also winning a state championship again? Right. That's another thing you got to think about.
And that's the thing. That's how he got that, because it counts too in the state tournament. Right. So that's also what helped him. He was on a good team, which he got more games. A lot of things have to obviously play out. But they did get knocked out the year before in the state tournament pretty early. Right. Didn't they get knocked out in like the first or second round?
Yep. 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 So
he made the state too. Helped. I mean, if they don't make it to state either year, he's not making it.
He's not making it. And you know what really impresses me with Travis Perry, Brady, other than just breaking the scoring record? He did it with other great players on his team.
It's true.
I feel like most of the time when that happens, you're taking 90% of the shots for your team. Now, he took a big part of the shots, but Brady, there was two other kids that went Division One off of his team.
Good point.
That, to me, that's just impressive.
And they averaged, each average, I think, right around 15 to 22. So,
yeah.
Great point.
Super impressive. All right. Next topic. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
2024. The KHSAA announces that esports will become part of the KHSAA as a sanctioned sport in 2025. Brady, first, your outlook on esports. How bad would you beat me at 2K or Madden? Second, when will we see the next sport be introduced to Kentucky high school athletics?
Well, I think I'm not a big sports gamer. I'm more Call of Duty. That's mine. I think that's yours as well. But I think it's great for I think it's great. I think it gets a whole other group of kids involved in something. I know Kentucky just put in a like esports. When I left, they had an esports gaming studio, which was it's awesome. You walk by there next to a Tin Roof on Limestone, but I think it's sweet. I think it's a new thing to watch. I kind of like watching games on TikTok of those, but I think the next sport is going to be pickleball. I think we're going to see pickleball join the KHSAA. If I had a guess of a sport, I think that's going to be something too, where it's going to get a whole other group of kids playing. I think that should be the goal of the KHSAA: get as many people to join something and be a part of something, feel included. But some of these games I saw at KHSAA, they're doing like Rocket League. I mean, it's not just sports games, which is pretty interesting. I could have crushed Pac-Man should be on there.
Pac-Man. Man, that'd be interesting. I feel like I could hold my own at some Pac-Man.
Good. You
Maybe
could.
some California speed racing on there too.
That's a good one. That's a real good one.
So
Save the
Brady, I
bush
mean,
till the end.
you look at it just recently as well, not too long ago. I don't know the year right off the top of my head, but fishing became a sanctioned KHSAA sport not very
Was
long
last
ago.
year.
Was it last year?
Yeah.
And then this year it happens with esports. Could pickleball happen in 2025?
Would 3-on-3 ever make it a entrance?
Hey,
That would be for people like us, Blue. Don't like run up and down the court.
yes. Oh, listen, if I could have had a 3-on-3 league, I'm telling you, I wouldn't go to Al Floyd. If I didn't have to run up down the court, I'm at least going to
Heck
like Georgetown.
yeah.
But no, I think that's a great point, Brady. And I would have to agree that I think if I was to stack my list of sports out of which is the next to become KHSAA sanctioned, I think I'm going to say pickleball. It's grown here in Lexington. We've just seen the paddock get built. My last hometown of Madisonville just built a big sports center that has a huge pickleball league starting in it. I mean, it's growing, man, and you're seeing younger and younger kids get involved. Especially, it's a good way for those kids that play tennis that want to keep a little something going without getting tired of tennis, right? So, I mean, I think there's a great chance that eventually happens. You know, I feel like when I was in high school, there was always talk about maybe that happening with ping pong at one point, because I heard a lot of people talking about that, but there was never this kind of following around ping pong like it is pickleball, especially in Kentucky.
No, every level of age can play it, whether you're 10 or you're 90. Which is interesting, which made me think, what I don't know if anybody saw this week, but Victor Wembanyama playing chess in Central Park.
Central Park.
I mean, chess is a big sport around a lot of different places. Pops up on my TikTok regularly about the guy Magnus. He's always late, but he always wins.
Speaking of, is that the guy Brady that just forfeited the tournament?
Yes.
Because tell us about that story. The dude literally forfeits the tournament because he wants to wear his damn jeans.
Yeah, I guess I was looking into it. I think what it is the World Cup of chess requires you to wear like Dockers, like dress pants. It's like some kind of etiquette. And this guy is like, you watch him play chess. I mean, I don't know him personally, so I don't, but he's very like proud to be the best. Let's just put it that way. Very proud to be the best chess player in the world. He like is always late to every match. That's kind of his MO, and he always wins. And I mean, I guess you never see your losses. What's that saying? People don't judge me for my, what's that, Wolf of Wall Street? They don't judge me for
I don't
my
know.
wins. They only judge me for my losses, because they don't ever happen. But he played, and he got disqualified. He quit basically the World Cup. So imagine this guy in the Olympics, basically. He just quit because he's like, I'm not wearing dress pants. I want to wear jeans.
Interesting. Interesting. I mean, Let the guy wear jeans. Come on. I saw the picture of him. He had on a sports coat.
Yeah.
I mean, dude looked nicer than I do at work most days. Let the guy play.
It has
Speaking
no
of play.
effect. It has no effect of your chess game.
No.
You're
No.
below the table. For all you care is wear shorts. You don't see it.
All right. You ready for the next topic?
It.
2024, the University of Kentucky, for the first time in 15 years, hired a new men's head basketball coach, Brady, with the hiring of Mark Pope. It's been a while since we had a football hiring, too, with Mark Stoops, but I feel like you said a hard no earlier about the one question with the scoring record. I assume this is going to be a hard no. What are the chances that the University of Kentucky hires a new men's basketball coach in 2025?
I think that's a pretty safe hard no. I mean, obviously pending any kind of craziness, but I think that's it's a hard no. Obviously coaches get 4 or 5 years on their contracts. That's going to be a hard no. I think that the passion that Coach Pope has for that the school and the university, I think is going to obviously help him continue past 5, 6 years. I think the debate that we always have is like, how long is a coach too long at a school? Specifically Kentucky, and a lot of factors goes into that between the pressure, the fans, the expectations that wears on you. I'm sure you'll look back at Coach Pope and see his picture after like 3 or 4 years and hit age crazy just because of the pressure of this job and the requirements. But he loves it. It seems it, from outsider looking in, it looks like he's amped up and bringing a lot of enthusiasm. And I think that obviously the other question we have always is football. Like, when's that gonna flip? Because he has been there the long. I think he's the longest active SEC coach, right?
Yeah, one of the longest active coaches in all of Division I football, but yes, in the SEC. So you mentioned that. Obviously, it's going to be a while for basketball of Kentucky's major scholarship sports. Now, Brady, I have so much respect for gymnastics. I have so much respect for our rifle team out here winning gold medals and all that, but I have no idea how long those coaches last. Of the major scholarship sports, is football the next to happen, do you think?
I think so. I think it's the easiest thing to look at from a like a fan, because of the year they had last year and the how long he's been there. I know Coach Mangione at baseball, he's kind of been on the hot seat for a few years, and then he had a rocking season last year, and he does great. But I think football's the next one, especially with how much money is being pumped into it year in and year out. I think you're going to see these coaches get very shortened times of the days of a football coach being there for 10 plus years, I think is over. I don't think you're get, I think you're going to get, unless you're like a Kirby Smart guy like that, that's continuing to get to the, I mean, people are calling for Ryan Day's head at Ohio State. I think it's, that shows the nature of college sports. People are only going to get 5, 6 years, I think now. Unless you're winning national championships or getting to routine bowl games.
I think you're right. And, Brady, I have to agree with you. And I want to throw out there that, obviously, me and you know this, the listeners know this, but one of the main reasons, right, that so much is on the air for basketball, football coaches is because those are the programs that not only make the most money, they're the programs that cost the most money. I mean, you look at the facilities, you look at especially with NIL in today's time, all of the things that go in, marketing, everything else, they're the most expensive, as well as bringing in the most money. So I think you're right. I think that one, Mitch Barnhart has probably learned his lesson with some of these contracts. I don't see him passing out another lifetime contract to a coach that comes through. I don't see him doing another 10-year extension on a football coach or anything like that. I just don't see it happening. And I don't think it's just a Kentucky thing, like you said. I think the days of seeing 10 and 15-year tenured coaches are probably over. I think with Coach K, Coach Cal, guys like Roy Williams, I don't think you see those guys at those places that long anymore. I just don't think it's going to happen.
And I think you're going to see contracts go down, I think, in terms of money. Like the days of coaches making $9 million a year for a football, you don't see it. You saw it with Cal at Kentucky, but basketball coaches, I think the hot spot anywhere between that 2.5 to 3.5 million a year is what you're going to probably see from pretty much over Power Five everywhere, because you're going to need that money to go to NIL now. And you saw with the Florida State football coach, he actually paid back, I think, what was it, like 50% of his salary for NIL because of the how he paid last year. And a lot of people, I think there was another school that put pressure on their coach to either cut his salary or give it to NIL. So there's going to be a lot of different leverages. I think it's going to change. We're going to look back on next year for this episode next year, and it could be wild. I mean, even after some of the stuff that came out today with Florida State, so.
I would really wish we had a whole segment. Maybe the next episode we'll get to talk a little bit more about the news coming from Florida State with that NIL payment. But I sit here and click the randomizer and I can't make this stuff up, Brady. The next question, if you don't believe that like AI is listening to you at all times, get over yourself. The next topic to be randomly chosen after just talking about football, Mark Stoops, coaching, all of that. 2024, Kentucky football and Mark Stoops travels down to Oxford, Mississippi, Brady, and they take on number six, Ole Miss, in Oxford on the road, and they come home with a W, a win in Oxford, Mississippi against number six, Ole Miss. Does UK football, Brady, beat another top 10 opponent on the road in 2025?
Well, before I answer this, I'd like to maybe bring up the schedule, because I know the schedule is brutal.
It's brutal. It's brutal.
Let's look this up. All right. Okay. So we've got to pick from at South Carolina, at Georgia, at Auburn, at Florida, at Vandy, at Louisville. Oh boy. You know what? I'm gonna flip the script here. I'm gonna say they steal one at Auburn.
Ooh.
Now, will Auburn be ranked? I don't know. I think it's safe to say Georgia, they're gonna have an opportunity to get a ranked win against Georgia at Georgia. Probably. I think the two ways, if South Carolina's ranked, UK has Mark Stoops has always had his way with South Carolina. I think you got South Carolina and Auburn is your two that you're like, I think your options. So I'm gonna say yes.
Okay, he's going, yeah, it's gonna happen. We're gonna repeat in 2025. Man, I think, Brady, I think you're about spot on again, in my opinion. I was kind of thinking the same thing looking at this schedule. As far as teams on the road that are gonna be ranked in the top 10, potentially, I think your most obvious is probably Georgia, Texas, Tennessee, right?
Oh, are we talking road wins or
I'm
anywhere?
talking top 10 on the road.
Okay.
So, Tennessee's at home and Texas is at home. You're right. But teams that are potentially could be ranked in the top 10 on the road, Georgia's probably your most obvious. I'm going to say your next closest probability to maybe being ranked top 10 on the road might be Louisville. And then, like you said, probably South Carolina. I think as far as those road SEC games, South Carolina is your most likely to be ranked in the top 10 just after what we've seen them put together this year. And I'm almost going to say I love your Auburn pick because that just seems like a game to me that we could go in and steal. It seems like that Ole Miss style game that we took this year. But I feel like we have this thing like, I don't know, it's like this curse with South Carolina, right? Like, I feel like it's almost a better chance to beat them at South Carolina than it is at
Yeah.
Lexington. You got to
So
think too, Blue. You got to think too. You've got, I mean, from East, I'll say this. You're gonna have, okay, take us through this. We're kind of off topic here, but let's just go through the season at this point. You got Toledo at home, then you bring Ole Miss at home, and I promise you, our boy at Ole Miss is not gonna take it easy. So you've got that. Then you got Eastern Michigan. So I'm predicting right now we're at 2-1
2-1.
South Carolina. Let's say that. And then you got at South Carolina. That's always a tough game. You got to think probably injuries are starting to happen with your team because of the physicality. So then,
Reverting back to the topic too, Brady, now that we're looking through this, I'm going to say it's going to be really hard for South Carolina to get in the top 10 that quick, that
true,
early.
true,
So that there's a good chance that's not going to happen.
true. So you're looking at probably Georgia. You're probably beating either Georgia or Auburn is your two. And then if Louisville, depending how they end up at the end of the year. So I Kentucky, man, Stoops gets the guys to play in the big games. I will say that they play to their level of talent. And I don't know what it is, but I'm gonna go for it. Let's do
You know, you're right. And speaking of getting the guys to play in the big games, like I was so down, Brady, on Barrion Brown pretty much the whole season after Ole Miss. I was
it.
down
Yeah.
on him. And I felt like maybe he didn't want to be here. Maybe he wasn't happy. I don't know. There was a lot of things I thought. But then today I saw on TikTok a post by I forget which account. Of SEC road environments, and it was Kentucky coming out of the tunnel at Neyland in Knoxville. And I'm getting chills talking about it right now. Barrion Brown was maybe the most hyped dude coming out of that tunnel. He's turning around, he's looking at his teammates, he's slapping his teammates, he's trying to get him. And I'm like, maybe I shouldn't have been so down on him later on in
Yeah.
the season, because I feel like he came into that game hyped up, ready to play, ready to try to win that game in Knoxville. So I think you're right, man. Georgia, I mean, we have gotten so close to Georgia the past few years.
Maybe
Now,
that's
being
it.
at Georgia is a different story, but.
I was to your point with Barrion Brown, which kind of just stuck in my head. Imagine and him and Dane Key, imagine being I think because obviously we're basketball people, where you get a touch pretty much every possession, right? Your role as a wide receiver depends on your quarterbacks and their ability to get you the ball. And I think you saw with Barrion Brown, I think he was one of the best, if not the best, returners in the country. And that was his way of knowing he was getting the ball. I think the skill level was there. I think rightfully so. These kids are 18 to 20 years old. If you're not getting the ball, maybe but one or two games times a game, I think it's naturally that you just become like it's easy to turn that switch off. And you see in the NFL all the time, some of these guys that don't have a good quarterback or maybe they don't have a line to get the pass off. So I'll take my time out to give some appreciation to Barrion Brown.
Yeah, I'm with it too. I'm with it too. Shouting out the news of obviously we've seen of Brock Vandergriff announcing that he is retiring from football. I think a lot of us kind of felt like from the silence that had come from Brock, that was probably a good possibility of happening, but officially announced. Brady, the random next topic that it has chosen from us, we're staying with the University of Kentucky and kind of mixing it with the KHSAA for this question. 2024, this happened. What's the chances of this happening in 2025? Two Kentucky high school kids from the same class getting scholarships to play at Kentucky. And I feel like we already know your answer to this, right?
I think it's happening.
Hey,
Malachi and Jasper,
Malachi and Jasper, this is
which
two
I just
years
thought
in
of
a
that.
row this has happened, Brady. Kind of.
You know what? You know what? When we were, that's a, it's happening. And I think you're going to see more of this. And I don't think it has really, I think it's got something to do with Coach Pope and his playing style and how he can get these guys in the rotation. With some of the ways that he runs the offense, but
I think the level of, and you saw it at Madisonville, and I think the level of talent throughout the state has gotten so much better as a whole. Now, you've always had your guys like Scotty Hobson. You've had your Preston Knowles, you've had your Darius Millers, you've had your Derek Willises. Now, there was only maybe 3 to 5 a year that could play Division One. I mean, you now see, I mean, anywhere between, I'd say, 25 to 30 seniors a year from Kentucky now are playing probably Division One basketball. So I think the odds, I think, are with us. I think there's going to be, I wouldn't want to say two every year, but I think there could be two, I would say two every 2 years, like whether it's one a class or two and one and one and one. I think there could be a level of talent there to allow that to happen.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think I'm mixed on it to an extent. I agree with you that the talent level in Kentucky has just it's improved. It's greatly improved. I feel like there was a gap there. I feel like it was really good for a long time. I feel like it dipped for a while, but I feel like it's improved again. It's back to where Kentucky kids are highly recruited kids. And I agree with you with Mark Pope and his coaching style allows him to do that. A point that you brought up in a previous podcast, a lot of people forget, either forget or don't realize, John Calipari did a lot of in-state recruiting too that you just don't think about. I mean, you think about guys like Derek Willis, Dom Hawkins, all of these guys. But Mark Pope came into this job knowing he had to do one thing, get this fan base back, right? He come in knowing it doesn't matter, it's until November before I get to start winning games. It's March before I get to win tournaments. The first thing I've got to do as Mark Pope when I get hired at the University of Kentucky is get the fan base back. And what better way to do that than keeping Travis Perry committed, flipping Trent Noah from South Carolina to Kentucky, two in-state kids that played against each other for the first time in their school's state championship history, and then signing two of Kentucky's top prospects coming out of the state. And so part of me says that will deteriorate over time. And that as time goes on, and after he wins some games, maybe he won't recruit as hard in the state as what he tried to this year. But then the other part of me goes back to what you said with his coaching style and him understanding the assignment, being Kentucky branded at heart, that he will keep doing it. So I don't know. I think he's on pace to keep doing it right now. And obviously, if there's kids as good as Malachi Moreno and Jasper Johnson the following year, he's going to go after him, I think. So I think there's a good chance in 2025. It's already happened. I think there's a good chance in 2026 as well. We're agreeing on a lot today, Brady.
I'll disagree with you soon.
Okay. All right. The next one. We are staying with the University of Kentucky. The next random topic of 2024 headlines. UK baseball makes the College World Series. Brady, we enjoyed the heck out of this.
It.
Is that going to happen again in 2025?
I'm going to say with zero news on what I don't know the roster. My ignorance is going to kick in here. I'm going to just say no. Because I think baseball is one of the hardest sports to one predict or to get there year in and year out. I'm going to go and say no. I think what Coach Mingo has done has been amazing with the new facility and everything, but the fact that we haven't been there, I don't know in how long. The fact that he was able to do that, I think the odds of it happening again the year after, I think is I'm gonna say no. And
I am.
now you have some time to look up the roster and see who went up and who left. That's the.
I'm not going to look out the roster. What I did do is I feel like there's two people that could give us some good insight on this. in our contact list. One of those is Mike Ayersman. And the second one is one of my former head coaches, John Newton. This is the head coach, head baseball coach at Western, not Western, Webster County. Fun story about John Newton. He was recruited and offered and verbally committed to the University of Kentucky for baseball as a pitcher before messing his shoulder up and ended up going to Murray. But I've phoned a friend here, Brady. I texted John Newton and asked him, does UK baseball make the College World Series in 2025? I'm like you. I have no idea. Kentucky baseball's been on the rise. I do know that. I've watched enough baseball that, you know, we've got Kentucky Proud Park now that's probably one of the greatest college baseball stadiums in America. Wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I mean, they did a great job.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we made it this year. I don't know who's coming back. Like you said, I don't know any of that. John Newton says, tough question. I feel like a bad guy if I say no, so I almost have to say yes, but the SEC is so tough. And he's right. Look at that College World Series and the SEC teams that are in there, like Florida that knocked us out. I mean, the SEC kind of dominates football, basketball, and baseball right now.
If you go to like Mississippi State, Mississippi State, if you go to their people always think, I mean, Mississippi State in sports, right? Like, they're maroon, old looking, all that kind of boring stuff. But you go down to Mississippi State's baseball stadium, they are like the best in terms of investment. They got like condos and apartments in their back, like outfield. I mean, they invest in so much into that. And you got Mississippi State, Florida, Tennessee's good, Kentucky. I'm leaving a lot of people out. Arkansas is always good.
Auburn's been good traditionally.
Auburn. I mean, it's and Vandy. Vandy's good in baseball.
Yeah. 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 Well, and I feel like, you know, even though in Major League Baseball you have like the Yankees and the Dodgers, I feel like baseball is a big sport down south too, right? And you, especially if you look at, you know, all the players that come from the Dominican Republic and you know, some of our Latin American countries, how big baseball is there. It's a little bit closer to the south. And so the SEC is just, I mean, like you said, and like Newton said, it's tough. I'm going to say no, Brady. I think that was a tall task. I'm going to say no. They don't make it.
I hope they do. It was fun watching. They
if they do, we'll go back to
the Burl.
Shamrocks.
The Burl Brew and then Shamrocks. Yeah, absolutely.
And go watch it again. Absolutely. Next random topic that we have here. I've not clicked the button yet. Here we go. All right. Ooh. So going back to the KHSAA and a couple guys we've already mentioned so far in this podcast, Brady, in 2024, we saw a state championship matchup against two teams that had never been to the state championship game in Kentucky's Sweet 16 history. Will that happen again in 2025? Don't have to be Harlan County and Lyon County, but is there a chance in 2025 that two teams that have never been to a state finals before make it to the state finals game?
I'm going to go on a limb here. I'm going to say yes. And the reason for that, I think we can all say that Great Crossing's probably one that you can say is probably a favorite.
Yep.
So, you know, they're going to be probably one of them. I'm trying to pull up the RPI, but I don't know if they've actually posted it yet, but I would say it's a 50-50 shot, right? I think it's going to be, you're looking at them to be, now their region is tough. I mean, they got to play like Bryan Station, Frederick Douglass. Getting out of their region is almost tougher than actually the state tournament. But I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes. It's going to happen again very quickly. I mean, I think it's going to be Crossing and somebody else. Don't know who that will be. We'll see.
I think you're right. You know, if I had to, from the games that I've watched, the scores I've seen, talking to you, talking to our good friend Matt Jones, who is very connected with KHSAA sports and teams. Like you said, it's you've got one that if you had to pick right now a team that you had to bet on to be in the state championship game, it would be Great Crossing, a team that has not been there yet. So you've got one of the two already that you would have to pick, I think. Yeah, I'm like you. I think the odds are good. I'm going to agree with you again, Brady, and say yes. I think in 2025 it could happen again. Two teams that have never been to the state championship game meet in the state championship. And, you know, there's a lot of debate on that, Brady, of Kentucky being classless in basketball as far as not having a 1A, 2A, 3A, like we do in football and like every other state pretty much does in basketball. But that's one of the beautiful things, right? I mean, you saw a small school like Lyon County make it to the state championship and win. That means way more to that community than winning an all-A state championship.
And then our previous guest, Eliza Justice, I think
Yes.
he won the all A and the state title, which is crazy to think. And
And got
honestly,
Mr. Basketball.
here's my prediction. This may make a lot of people mad, and I'm sorry if I do. I think if you compete in the all A, I don't think you should be able to win two state titles. I think if you compete in all A, that's your title. And that's just a hot take. It could make a lot of people mad. But I've always, coming from Campbell County, who I think we are like technically like 6A. I mean, we're a pretty big school, but like I get it. You get kind of two chances to win a state title if you're a single A. Now you only have a few kids in your school. So, but that's my hot take, I think, today that.
You know, that's a great point. That's a great point. And I feel like it don't happen often because, you know, I've coached at a few, you know, I coached at June Buchanan, who is in the All A. I coached at Knott County Central, who is in the All A. Really close to Elijah Justice, who played in the All A and now coaches in the All A. It doesn't happen often, right? Just because I feel like a lot of times teams win that All A so early, and it's almost like they won a state championship. And, you know, they're not as passionate about winning as the teams that don't have that opportunity. So it don't happen a lot. That's a great, God, Brady, you've got my wheels turning. That's a great point.
That's me coming from a big school. So I just never understood. It's like, okay, why would you not play the all A around the state tournament and just keep the all A together? And now you've got your team like Lyon County won all A, correct, this year, get two.
I'm looking. I don't know. That's literally
I
what
think
I
they
was.
did. I think they did. And I think obviously a school like Lyon County and a school like Shelby Valley, right? Like those schools wanted to compete in the KHSAA because they had a chance to win it, and they obviously did. But like, there's a lot of schools, and like you said, 95% of the time, probably 99% of the time, those all A schools are getting smacked and not making much noise in the region, if any. So I get both sides, but man, it was always irritating. Like, I would be like, this guy won two state titles in the same year. Like, what's going on here?
So Lyon County did not.
Wow. Who won it?
Newport.
Ooh, which was very good. Newport's a very good all A.
So Lyon County did not make it to the championship game. Lyon County got beat in the semifinals 50-48 by Newport. And
Wow.
the championship game was Newport Evangel Christian. And it
Wow.
went into overtime.
So these all A's are getting better. I mean, I would say that
Yeah.
Newport was is a state title contender
And even
recently.
Evangel Christian last year
And
had,
yeah, Evangel
there's some Division
Christian.
One players on that team. Pikeville.
Yeah, do I don't know. It's just always outside looking in, I'm just like, man, this makes no sense.
No, I get it. I get it. That's almost got me thinking too, Brady. I'm sure it's been done in the past, and I really wish someone would text us or post on our social media and clear this up. We talked about our former guest, Elijah Justice. I guess he's kind of won the triple crown of All-A basketball in Kentucky, right? He won the All-A state championship. He won the Sweet 16 state championship, and he was Mr. Basketball. I kind of want to know who else has done that in Kentucky. That's tough.
I don't know. You might have just pinned a new award on people.
The triple crown.
A triple crown, which fits with Kentucky. Yeah, I like that.
Somebody let us know. Somebody post on our social media or text us if that's ever happened before Elijah Justice. If he's the only one. I go back to, you know, I don't know how everything was structured with King Kelly Coleman and guys like that. I imagine Wayland would have been a small school. I don't know how far back.
Did Darius Miller?
Were they all A?
They're not all A, but he would have been the closest, I think. I think he won Mr. Basketball and won the state. I would say, honestly, I think Elijah's number one. That's it.
I think the all A tournament might only go back to 1990.
Yeah.
So he might be the only one in Kentucky basketball history to win an All-A state championship, a KHSAA state championship, and win Mr. Basketball. I'm curious about that now.
I think, I don't know. I was going to say, man, I think that's not going to get touched. But I think if Talon Kinney stayed at Newport, I think he would have done it. I want to say that's probably a record that never will be broken. But I think there's these kids in the All-A, I think, are getting a lot better.
Yeah. I think so. All right. Next random topic, Brady. Moving on. In 2024, the University of Kentucky, we're going back to UK. 2024, the University of Kentucky beat its own school record of medals in the Olympics. Not gold medals, but medals. We're talking bronze, silver, gold with 13. So what that means is University of Kentucky athletes, either current or former, won medals in the Olympics at 13, more than any other university in the country. Do they beat that record again in 2025, Brady?
We'll say they break the record next Olympics. We'll say that.
Yeah. I guess they can't in 2025. Next Olympics.
I don't know. I think a lot of it, man, I don't know. I'm going to bet on yes, because I think, no, actually, I don't think so. I think because a big part of that group was the basketball.
Yeah.
I think because you had what, Devin Booker, Bam Adebayo.
Yep.
Anthony Davis. Yeah. And we're talking American, I think, right? American.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I think it was all sports. So I think because Canada, I don't think medaled, did they? I don't think Canada medaled.
I don't think so. Yeah.
So yeah.
They were all Team USA.
So what I'm going to say yes, because I think the next go around for the summers is going to be, I don't think Anthony Davis will be playing. I think the core for basketball is going to be Bam and Devin, I think, are going to be two solid guys that they're going to still have. And then I think you're going to have Canada, I think, with Jamal and Shea kind of get some more medals for the university. And then I think a lot of this stuff, these other sports too, like track, and you got Sydney McLaughlin, obviously, who's incredible. I think there's going to be some other people. I'm going to say yes. I think we're on the come up.
I mean, it could be, man. You talked about Sydney McLaughlin and, you know, her gold medals. You had Alexis Holmes with Team USA and her 4x400 meter relay gold medal. I don't know how long people fence, but we've talked a lot about Lee Kiefer and you know, as a UK med student winning gold in individual and team. I don't know how long people fence. I don't know if she'll do it again. But I mean, you talk about Russell with UK, 100 meter gold medal. That's the thing, Brady. We had 9 gold medals.
It's a lot.
Of the 13 medals, 9 were gold.
That's a
So
lot.
those same people could at least get bronze.
Yeah, that's why I'm gonna say yes. I mean, and again, I think what people added to that is obviously the basketballs. Like, and you had Ryan Howard with the
Yep.
3-on-3. I think there's a lot more international basketball. And you never know. I mean, could Kirk Kreisa get one with Estonia? Never know. I think
Hey.
Estonia is where he's from. Never know. So there could be some international guys pop up here and there that jump in, and I'm gonna say yes.
I think it's possible. You said we're on the come up. I'm sitting here. I'm cheating, Brady. I pulled this up. I'm sitting here looking. Not only did we break the record for medals earned in the Olympics with UK athletes, we also broke the record for most Olympians from UK to compete in the Olympics from 20 to the previous record was 20. And then this year, this Olympics was 24.
Nice.
So we're on the come up. I think you're right. I mean, maybe we break both records again the next Olympics.
I think the investment in the Olympic sports that Mitch Barnhart has done a great job of, I think, is showing. Whether it's hiring coaches like Flormani or Coach Flo, he did a great job with the track program, brought Sydney McLaughlin, things like that. But he's now at Texas. But investing in those sports, whether it's facilities or coaching, we've got a great rifle team. I know, who knows
Yeah.
who will be from that, but we'll see. I think betting on that is, I think, the over.
Oh, absolutely. I think so. I think it has to be the over. Last random question. It's popped up the last one. I want to hear this because me and you talked about this a little bit before the podcast, Brady. I'm kind of mind blown. I'm not kind of mind blown. I am mind blown. 2024. The University of Kentucky won its eighth, Brady, eighth straight, not eighth total, eighth straight SEC title in women's volleyball. Does 2025 bring the ninth straight?
I think you have to bet on Coach Skinner's Wildcats. I think you have to say yes. What he's done there has been insane. Like, I think I read a stat the other day where I think all of them but three have been outright, which there's been no ties. And volleyball, like, I think top to bottom, they're in, I think, what is one of the best conferences, because you've got obviously your Stanfords, your Penn States, Big Ten's very good. I think it's Big Ten and SECs, your two big ones, but what he's done to just dominate. I mean, I look at scores, he's sweeping, does it the right way. They've now got a beautiful Memorial Coliseum to now recruit on, add to his recruiting philosophy. And I think you got to say yes. And I think they're a one or two seed in the tournament, I think, every year.
I was curious to know how this happened. I've got a cousin as well. Shout out to Mike Smith, who is a volleyball coach, Brady. He's won a national championship at LMU with volleyball. His now he's not at LMU anymore. Still coaching volleyball. He's over at Mars Hill in North Carolina now. But, you know, having a volleyball person in the family, I've always wondered how has Coach Skinner done what he has done with UK volleyball? So amazing. And I think I figured it out the day that you took me to Great Bagel, and there he was. That's it. He eats a great bagel. That's the solution.
Eats a great bagel, get some freshly squeezed lemonade or orange juice. It's where recruiting goes to get deals done. It is the great bagel on Woodland Ave.
That's it. That's it.
Which is where you knew you were in for a long haul when our good friend Andrew Ortelli would walk in the film room with some great bagel on Sunday mornings after a Cats win on Saturday. We were in there for the long haul cutting games, and Coach Ort would have his great bagel walking in, and it fueled you for the day. Fueled you for the day. If anybody hasn't been, you need to go check it out. Great Bagel, Woodland Ave on the corner.
Hey,
It's
that's
amazing.
it. That's it. Amazing. Amazing. You can visit right there next to Two Fisted Willies too. I mean, anytime you want
Good, brand new. Yeah.
to.
Free football game.
Brady, we've honestly talked about some absolutely amazing things that happened in 2024 with sports. I mean, just 2024 is going to be hard to match with everything that happened in sports. All the amazing things we just went over, and that is just Kentucky, Brady. Obviously, we talked about some things outside of Kentucky with some of the best moments of sports in 2024 at the start of the podcast. But as great as 2024 has been with sports, there was also some bad sports moments of 2024 as well. Me and you have talked about some of those prior to airing this podcast. Brady, is there any, do you want to kick this off? Is there any?
I'll jump in here on this one. I think some bad. Well, Blue,
Yeah.
you start. You start. You start.
Okay. You're sure?
Yeah, you start.
Man, Brady, I think you already know where I stand on this. Our good friend Winston Lee probably knows where I stand on this. To me, and I'm thinking about decisions, right? What are some of the worst sports decisions that were made in 2024? And I can't think of anything to top the list other than literally choosing, going back to the Olympics, choosing to swim in a river of shit for the Olympics. I mean, let's think about that. When did we decide? Players were literally, players, swimmers, Brady, were literally exposing themselves to things like E. coli so that they
Yeah.
could build up an immunity because they were going to have to swim in the Seine River in France for the Olympics that was nowhere near passing tests just weeks before the Olympics started. I
The
mean,
best athletes in the world, you're like eating. I mean, the stories from the Olympics of athletes that like have to prepare for it, where they're like, you hear the stories of Michael Phelps like not eating a sugar for like eight straight
yes.
years. Imagine these guys going to training their whole lives and just being extremely disciplined to then show up to this river they have to like they train their whole lives for. Because I think people need to remember these Olympians get their like literally some of these people get like 5 minutes to shine
That's
in their
it.
Olympics. And this is it. You show up and it's like, here's some poop to swim in.
Brady, have you ever dropped your phone in a toilet?
No, I haven't. I'm sure it sounds like you have.
I've not. I've not. I have dropped items in toilets. I don't remember what. I feel like I've dropped something. I have dropped a phone in a toilet before. And do you, if Brady, let's say me and you went downtown to the Paddock Bourbon Club right now, which is a finer establishment. Let's switch that up. Let's go downtown to Limestone. We're at Two Keys, Brady,
Okay.
and you drop your phone in the toilet at Two Keys in Lexington, Kentucky. What do you do?
Well, I'm walking away. I'm not even digging my hand in there.
Me, I'm at least, my phone's at least going to sit in there for 5 minutes while I try to make my mind up of what I'm going to do. At least. Now, Brady, imagine sticking your whole damn head in the toilet.
It's not happening. And I don't know. Whoever was, they did the whole opening ceremony on that river too.
Yes. Yes. Oh. Okay.
Well,
Anyway.
I have one that actually I think might be a little bit more dumb was if
Uh-oh.
anybody watched the Hard Knocks, people saw the debauchery that went on with the Giants deciding if they were gonna pay Saquon Barkley or keep Daniel Jones. And we see how that ended up. They lost Daniel Jones for $40 million a year and they have to pay it out. And then Saquon's about to break the record this week on him. So I think that's pretty dumb.
Yes, that could possibly top it. That's a pretty dumb one. Oh my gosh.
Their Saquon, which I didn't realize, this is the first year Saquon's ever been on a guaranteed contract.
Really?
Yeah, he's been on 1 year deals his whole career. And that was his thing, was now he's running free. If he gets hurt, he's guaranteed money. That's why he's a big part of why he's doing the things he's doing, is what they're saying.
And Brady, I got to be honest, to make that feel even more dumb for the Giants, Saquon Barkley is one of the few players that I almost weekly bet on for an anytime touchdown score.
Yeah.
It's almost money.
His odds to score a touchdown is almost like not even worth putting it in a parlay because it's only going to make it go up a little bit.
Yes. Oh, that's a great Brady. Good call. Good call for the Giants to just literally let him walk.
Walk.
Wow. Wow.
And then I think one that we need to talk about is the big one. Which I actually was fortunate enough to be at this event when it happened is Scottie Scheffler getting arrested, which also I never thought would happen ever. Where a player, I'm not kidding, Blue. We were there on the buses going to Valhalla, and people said, "Stop!" Like we stopped. We were delayed about an hour and a half, bad weather, and then you get on Twitter and they're like, "Scottie Scheffler was arrested," and everybody's there to see Scottie too. You're like, and so. He then goes to jail, comes right out, and we're on hole one in the fairway. And this dude just pins it, right? Birdies it on hole one coming out of jail. People go crazy. And I never thought, I literally walked out of there. I told my dad, I said, we'll never see something like this again in sports because you've got like basketball, right? If a guy gets arrested, like they're going to sit him out, right? Like they're too many games. There's not another sport where a guy can get arrested and then just come out on his own and play and figure it out later, right? So teams are going to shut that down. But then you saw Tyreek Hill, the first NFL game of the year, he gets arrested. Now, yeah, I don't think he went to jail, but he got put in cuffs. What a like 4 month deal for this to happen.
Brady, mad respect for law enforcement officers, right? I mean, these people are out here risking their lives every day for, average pay to protect us, to keep, to keep the streets safe. Mad respect. Mad respect. But as if the Louisville Metro Police Department did not need more attention than what they already had on them. And like you said, you arrest the number one player in the world when you're hosting one of the biggest events in the world. And Brady, to be fair, like to me, the thing that gets me the most with that one is, maybe just a random day out on the street, if he's just wearing whatever, I might not recognize Scottie Scheffler. Fine. I may not know who he is. But it's a guy in a PGA marked car coming in at a morning hour where nobody the hell else is going to be pulling in there. And you've got to know it's Scottie Scheffler at that point. And two, going back and looking at the body cams, they figure out that it's Scottie Scheffler. They know who they're dealing with. And then to just completely kind of fabricate a police report that you were dragged on the ground and that, like, you didn't know this video was going to get released.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It
And,
was unneeded attention to Louisville, and it was like, and it honestly, it as crazy as it sounds too, it couldn't have happened to like a more
stand-up guy.
weird. Yeah, like it's not like you're not pulling over just any guy. Like you're pulling over Scotty, who's notorious for like being this like wholesome family guy that's never, I mean, probably never broken the law. I mean, it's everyone was just like something had to have been off, right? Like everyone jumped on Scotty, and for him to come out and the stories from that, I'm sure it'll come out here in the next 5, 10 years. I mean, I think he's told pretty much every story he has from his time stretching in the cell and everything, but I would love to have known. I mean, it was crazy just being there and seeing him just walk out of jail and with no warm up, made the tee time.
And
And
then I really hope the person that made the decision to officially arrest Scottie Scheffler, I hope, Brady, they watched him cry his eyes out when he won at the Olympics
no,
and held that flag and cried his eyes out. I hope they watched that. I hope they
I'm
watched
sure.
that. My goodness, my goodness.
Now you're
Another one,
getting
Brady,
emotional.
right before we switch. This one to me is, the more I think about it, I debated whether even to throw this on there or not. But the more I think about it, it's almost as close to blasphemy as you can get, I feel like. Let's think about this. Earlier in this podcast, Brady, we talked about women's basketball and what Caitlin Clark did for women's basketball. And you don't pick her for Team USA in the Olympics?
I'm with you. I'm with
She's a
you.
rookie?
Well, we
Sure.
talked about this on a previous podcast with Macy Morris. Now,
We did.
the longevity, though, Blue, of some of these WNBA stars, the longevity, I'm not even saying it right.
You're saying
Longevity,
it perfect.
it goes unnoticed because your Diana Taurasi's, all these studs. I mean, imagine keeping LeBron off of the USA team. If LeBron wants to play, man, they're putting him on there. These girls wanted to play. Their careers are like 25 years. I mean, that's a stretch, but like, I feel like they're so long. Now, she deserved a spot. Like, let's be real. I'm with you, but it shows you these, I mean, was this like Donna Taurasi's like fifth or sixth Olympics? Sixth?
That's so, yeah, it was not her first. All right. And to me, that's the thing. Like, at this point, you're exactly right. The longevity of women in the WNBA, their basketball careers is
Yeah.
insane. You're right. But Brady, at this point, for everything that Caitlin Clark did for my sport, if I'm one of these players that have already, that I've already played in the Olympic Games, I've
Yeah.
already won a medal, I've already played, and you don't let Caitlin Clark be on Team USA, I think I'm going to say, I'm not playing. Here's my spot.
Which is it is crazy though. You would think the women's basketball would do something similar, but I think at least previously the men's team has done this where they've taken like a college kid to be on, or a young rook to be on the staff. So like Christian Laettner was that with USA basketball back in the day. He was the college guy on Jordan and that the dream, I think it was in the dream team he was on. And then you had Anthony Davis as the gold medalist when he just got out of college. I think he was a rookie. And I would say if the years fell correctly, I think you would have saw someone like a Cooper Flagg be on this team. He would be probably a prospect where you would think a little bit. Anthony Edwards came a little bit later, but he was a big part of it. Why not throw Caitlin Clark in there? Because she's gonna. I mean, they beat every team almost by like 50. I mean, except that last game. But
I mean,
you're passionate about this. I can tell. This got you sweating and
it bothers me, man. Like, I think about Brady, I probably got, and I grew up in the Jordan era, right? I grew up in the 90s where I was watching Michael Jordan and the Bulls. I was watching those guys. And Brady, I probably watched the USA men's team in the Olympics in 2024 more than I ever have. Like,
Yep.
wanted to watch every game, every minute. It's the first time I've done that. I did not watch one possession of Team USA women's. I didn't. And it's not because I didn't like them. It's not because I didn't think they were good. Obviously, they were amazing. But if Caitlin Clark had been picked, I would have probably watched the game.
Yeah.
Just and to see what it looked like.
You probably would have watched till the end because you were waiting for her to get in.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I don't know. Just mind-blowing to me.
Well, this kind of is going to go into probably 2025 too, but like, I think sports right now is in such a weird spot. And this might lead into, I don't know what else you have planned, but like looking ahead at 2025, I think sports is in a weird spot right now, right? You've got this technology of Twitter, Instagram, you've got your betting apps, where people honestly, like we would have just as much joy going to a friend's house to watch a game or going to a restaurant bar. Than actually being in the venue. And I think you're seeing a lot of that with the NBA, right? Like at least what I'm seeing is I honestly have watched maybe 5 minutes of the NBA this year. Yeah. And I think a large part of that, and I actually thought about this, this goes into your Caitlin Clark. The only game I've watched this year, the NBA fully through was the Bronny LeBron game. That's the only game I've watched. And I think it's, I love basketball. I like watching basketball, but like the NBA just doesn't do it for me until the playoffs. And there's just too many games. But I think this technology, the way the games are on TV where you can flip through and you can bet on stuff. If you're betting on a game, you can watch like it. There's too much going on. Netflix, all this different stuff, right? Like they're in a weird spot. And I don't know if it ever is going to get better just because of how much these restaurants and different things, these viewing experiences outside of the venue are going to, I think they're honestly being better than actually in the venue.
Yeah, no, I agree. What's the one place, Brady? Isn't it in Texas somewhere like San Antonio where it's like almost like the Vegas Sphere? It's like the bar you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Entertainment venue. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying that when you started with, I was thinking you were saying tilted kilt.
My wife continuously to this day, anytime somebody mentions tilted kilt, she'll say their food's amazing. She'll say their food's amazing. According to Wes,
they do have a good
it's
meal.
An extensive menu, man. You get whatever you want.
It's almost like Cheesecake Factory.
Yes, yes.
Like when you get overwhelmed in a Cheesecake Factory, you open up that tilted kilt menu and you're just like
by the seventh page, you're like, well, hell, I don't know what to get now.
Give me a burger.
Absolutely. Man, that whole little area in general, you got tilted kilt, you've got jalapenos, great little spot, B-dubs, great little spot to grab lunch. Oh,
man,
I'm telling you. 2024, Brady, it's was an amazing year. We had some dumb moments, but man, thankful for everything that happened in 2024. Thankful for you in this podcast, man. Thankful for all the guests that we've had join us on here. Some amazing people. I would love to go through and name everybody that's been on this podcast, but Brady, we're 20 some episodes in now, and that's a long list.
It is. But I think we need to give them the props, but also if our listeners want a specific person on the pod,
let us know.
Or yeah. If they want to join on the pod, they can join on the pod.
Join on the pod. A lot of things coming for 2025 that we've been working on. Obviously, we've got some of our social media accounts up and running now for You Know the Drill, sponsored by MCHC. We've got some guests in the lineup up for 2025 and some ideas as well. Brady, we've been talking about things like some call-ins, maybe some live editions from some of the greatest spots in Lexington, Kentucky, maybe even around Kentucky. We'll see where we go, but a lot of things in store for 2025. And we need you. We need the listeners to make some of this happen.
We do. We're going to do a live show. I think a live show is the next big thing we do, whether it's around the state tournament or something, maybe a pregame of a UK game. Let's make that happen.
My goal is to one day host a live show where somebody paints up. I want you to just come body painted for You Know the Drill in
We
the
will.
crowd.
Holding a drill.
Holding a drill.
You need an
Yes.
Honorary You Know the Drill drill, where if you have a
Yes.
hot take, you like buzz it, where it's like, zoom, zoom.
Ah, I need that
see,
sound
this
effect.
is where we start going.
Maybe, Brady, maybe we should toy around with some drill noises. I've got some sound effects. Can you hear that?
No.
Oh, I've got some sound effects here. I don't know what they do. I don't know if the viewers can hear them or not. Anyway, we'll toy around with that. I like that idea, Brady, the drill. Oh, 2024, you've been great. We love you, but we're so looking forward to 2025 and everything to come. You Know the Drill, sponsored by MCHC, providing better health for a longer life. Wes Smith, Brady Kennedy, we love you, Kentucky.
You Know the Drill with Wes Smith. Wes Smith. Wes Smith. Presented by MCHC.